This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome back. Margaret Weldon, Kelly McDonald, we're the hosts joining in. This is Kelly and Company. We're here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. If you want to reach out to the show on Twitter, at AMI Audio. Best way to do it, because then you can just follow along with what's coming up on the shows. You can ask questions and somebody will get back to you, of course. And another great way is feedback at AMI.ca. You just send an email. Ask your questions about Accessible Media Inc. or whatever you might want to know. And the one I like the most, I get to hear your voice, but that's why. 1-866-509-4545. Love to hear your questions, comments for the show. Please give us permission to use your message on air if you don't mind. But certainly signify what show it's for. And otherwise, we will not use your message on air. If you're not comfortable with that, that's perfectly fine. Of course, 1-866-509-4545. He joins us on Wednesdays to talk health headlines. On Fridays, we get into a little more kind of easy back chair and talk lifestyle headlines with Jeff Ryman.
From fashion to travel, pets and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
Lots going on a Friday. Jeffy, welcome back. And you are at AMI main campus, settled back in with some stuff to talk to Mags and I about.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be back in Studio 5. I may sound maybe a little bit more sharper because I'm using a nice professional broadcasting quality microphone. Not like I'm using anything bad at home, but, you know, nothing sounds better than when you're actually in the studio. And it's kind of nice to be here. And the best part of it is that I was in the office Thursday, so yesterday and today, and there was donuts yesterday, and there was leftover donuts today.
So, oh, wow.
I munched down two donuts.
So I always ask about them when you guys mention them.
Oh.
So is it a variety or is it...
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
So I believe Sebastian from TV brings them in. He got two dozen, I believe, and... They're all assorted. They're from Krispy Kreme, and normally they have those Krispy Kreme, you know, just the typical glazed, which I think everybody's a fan of. And then he got some that were stuffed, and like, oh, it's just, so first of all, there's no Krispy Kreme around where I am. So whenever I get a Krispy Kreme donut, it's kind of a specialty, and a little, it's obviously a treat. Whenever I went to Krispy Kreme, I would always just get the original, just like the original glazed. And I never thought about getting any, you know, Boston creams or sprinkles or any sort of stuffed donut.
I think I was scared about how sweet they'd be because the original is sweet enough. I figured they'd be off the charts.
And I have a huge sweet tooth, and I tried one of these stuffed donuts. I had one with like caramel on it, and then inside was piped with like... icing sugar, like almost like something you'd put on a cake.
And
I thought it was phenomenal. Some people might think that's way too sweet, but for me, I have a huge sweet tooth, so it was phenomenal.
And if Margaret, I ever get, you'd hear some of those like sound effects from The Price is Right as the numbers going up, you know, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Oh, yeah. Your sugar.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
I'd be bouncing off the walls if that were me.
I went for a walk.
Let's give that a try. It would be interesting to see Margaret doing that. I do it enough, but that's just because if I lose my sense of direction and I didn't see that wall corner there. That's a different bouncing off.
So, guys, I want to start with some barbecuing. Of course, long weekend for a lot of people in Canada. And, of course, that means that a lot of people are probably going to have a barbecue, including myself, because... You know, why wouldn't I?
You're Jeff. You just one? Come on, stop exaggerating. You'll have two or three.
I'll probably barbecue every day.
That's what I figure.
But this article comes from the Canadian Press, and you know how much I love tips and tricks, and this one has 10 tips on how you can, you know, optimize your grilling experience, both for you and obviously the people that will be eating the food that you grill. But first, there's a couple of things, that, you know, it alludes to in this article, and I think it's really something that, you know, not a lot of people do while barbecuing. And I just started doing this maybe a couple years ago. And the thing is, there's a little bit of a rule here. If the food takes less than 20 minutes to cook, use direct heat. So use the direct method. So think shrimp, asparagus, squash, mushrooms, burgers, hot dogs, and of course steaks. I mean, steaks, you don't want to be cooking for more than 20 minutes.
No.
At least I hope not. If the food takes more than 20 minutes, use the indirect method. So think beer can chicken, any sort of chicken really. Flank steak, ribs, pork butts, fish, potatoes, onions, hard squash, stuff like that. For me in particular, pork is probably the best way to go about cooking is indirect. So what I'm saying, the indirect heat. So have one burner on or two burners on and cook on the burner that's not on. So therefore your barbecue heats up on the one side and your meat is on the side that's not directly underneath the heat. And obviously the direct heat is, you know, with you essentially cooking over fire, pretty much. So,
and that doesn't matter whether you're, you know, if you're wrapping something or not. Some things you're just throwing right on the grill, but other things you're throwing on that tinfoil.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely, like potatoes. Like you, right. you can. Yeah. I mean, you can't really burn a potato, and I kind of like it when the skin's a little bit crispy. So I usually do that with direct heat. You're not going to burn a potato, and if you do, hit me up because I'm not really sure how that's even possible. But Kel's steak, obviously, you want to do it over direct heat. You want to get that nice sear. You don't want to cook it for, depending on how done you like your steak, you know, anywhere between 5 and, you know, 15, dare I say it, 15 minutes. Some people who like theirs like extra well done.
Yep.
But the pork, you know, pork tenderloin, pork loin roast, any of that type of stuff. If you're going to do ribs, if you're going to do a pork butt, pork shoulder, indirect heat is probably the best way to go. I've done it, you know, it turns out phenomenal. If you cook over direct heat with pork, it can dry it out a little bit. If you cook it over indirect heat, honestly, night and day. So if you haven't done that.
A lot of us don't know that.
Yes.
And you sit there and just do it. And, well, it's just that's the way it's supposed to turn out.
Yeah. I mean, people just see barbecue, turn on all the burners and cook right over top and that's it. But I mean, there's so many different techniques. And, you know, growing up, I mean, my dad would just go out there and rub everything on the grill, you know, no indirect or no indirect heat or anything. And now that I'm starting to get more and more into grilling and, you know, I'm really into cooking and particularly barbecue. And the indirect method, honestly, it's game changing. So if you haven't tried it yet, I suggest pork. Pork is probably the best to do indirectly. And but I mean, feel free to have fun with all the other things you can throw on a barbecue, too. So just wanted to get that out of the way. But the 10 tips.
I have a question, though, Jeff. What about the rotisserie? Do you ever use that? Is that what they call it? You know, when you, if you were going to barbecue something all day long, like a big side of beef or something?
Yeah. So I don't have that. I don't have a rotisserie accessory for my barbecue. I know people who do. Typically, that can be used for basically anything. I think chicken is probably the most common one.
Yeah.
And I believe that'd be over direct but low heat. So, I would love to get one. I've actually looked into getting it, but, you know, I have a barbecue and a smoker. And if I were to do something like a chicken, doing it on the smoker is phenomenal. And that's in direct heat as well.
And then finishing if you want on your barbecue. Great.
Exactly. You know? You can do a combo of things. But the 10 tips. So obviously know the difference between direct and indirect grilling methods and when to use them. So what we just went over, always preheat your gas grill with burners on high. Or wait until, if you're using charcoal, those briquettes are covered with a gray ash. I always do this. It's just so it burns off all the other stuff that you might have previously had on that barbecue. Then you can scrape it. It comes off super, super easy. But this is like one of the first things that I ever learned when turning on a barbecue. Keep it on high. Let it on high. Let it go till it gets, I usually do about 350, 400. You can go higher if you want, if you really want to burn off all that extra gunk from your previous meal. But yeah, you make sure you want to turn everything on high. And then also make sure that your burners are actually working and that your barbecue is heating up. Because sometimes your burners will turn on. And then within a minute or two, if you're low on propane, if you're running on propane, they might just turn off. So give it a good high start with high heat initially. Oil the food, not the grates. In this article, it says olive or grapeseed oil to coat the foods before seasoning it. This keeps the food juicy, promotes great grill marks, and helps prevent sticking. So I think, you know, in particular, the one thing that always seems to get stuck on my barbecue is chicken or pork. and like those chicken or pork kebabs. So if you just, you know, drizzle a little bit of olive oil on top of it, it won't really affect the flavor too much. And it won't stick to your barbecue, because sometimes things really do stick to your barbecue.
Oh, man.
Then it rips off. And then not only does your barbecue not look good for the next use, and you have to clean that off, but obviously you're missing half your food.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to get it out of there, yeah, because it just becomes this carbon that's sitting on there.
Yeah.
And it's sooner or later. So it becomes a real drag. And that is a simple way, because you won't really taste it if it bothers you.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Number four is cook with the lid down. It reduces the cooking time. If you cook with the lid up, I don't know what you're doing. Obviously, you want to look at it. You want to make sure you're not burning it. That's okay to take a peek, but try to keep the lid down. You want to keep that temperature consistent, and you don't want to lose all that heat. The second you open that barbecue lid for more than 5-10 seconds, you've just let out probably 100 degrees worth of heat. And then it takes your barbecue a little bit more to heat back up. So you're basically heating and cooling and heating and cooling. And it's not very good for your meat. Your meat will actually tense up when that happens. So, yeah. Yeah, that's what they do in the movies. That's what Akil says they do. I mean, Vin Diesel always does that in Fast and Furious. It makes me furious to see him do that.
So, yeah, I mean, speaking of Fast and Furious, this isn't a convertible. You're not giving the chicken a ride. It's like, oh, you want the top down?
You don't need to use super high heat. Most grills are best between 350 and 500 if you want to cook that high. Any temperature above that is basically searing temperature only. Usually when I'm searing my steaks, I'll sear them at 500 and then turn the heat down to about a medium high. And then it takes, like, depending on how thick the steak is, the steak I usually get is about an inch thick. It takes me about 8 to 10 minutes to cook a full steak after searing that to a perfect medium rare. If you're going to cook north of 500, you're just asking for your stuff to be burnt. In particular, chicken will burn really easily.
Take it easy on my fish too, folks.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Number six, clean the grill grates twice every cookout with a grill cleaning brush. I normally do this before I put my food on, and then usually afterwards, just so you get any of that excess stuff that you've just cooked with off of the grill for next time. So cleaning is obviously super important. Kind of gross to think about that you might be cooking, you know, with leftover stuff on your barbecue. And, you know, some barbecues, if they're left outside, I've seen mice and squirrels and all that good stuff run around your barbecue. You know, they could have gotten in there. And you want to,
you know, love it.
Clean it. That's obviously huge. Number seven, use an instant read meat thermometer to make sure your food is perfectly cooked. I invested in one of these. I think there are some accessible ones out there as well. I believe Mary Mamlidi might have touched on this a while back, that will actually read the temperature to you. I highly recommend this, especially if you're cooking with pork, making pulled pork in particular. This is when I usually use it. You can get it to a perfect temperature. And another thing is, I would suggest cooking to temperature as opposed to cooking to time.
Yes.
Just a good rule of thumb. Flip only once halfway through cooking time. That goes for burgers too. Don't be flipping them back and forth. It just makes your meat fall off onto the grill even more. Brush with barbecue sauce only during the final 10 or 15 minutes of cooking. If you do it at the beginning, the barbecue sauce, the sugar, will actually burn into your chicken or whatever you're marinating. And always let your food rest before you cut into it. It's just the way it goes. It makes it a little bit more tender. And I usually do this for 10, 15, 20 minutes if you have time. Even wrap a little tin foil on it.
That's it. I think the resting is really important.
Absolutely. So those are 10 tips that I found on the Canadian Press and for you guys to use on this beautiful long weekend.
Get yourselves ready, folks. Jeff's going to be, that's where he's going now before he comes back for Cut for Time a little later on, to get things ready to start that barbecue. We'll talk to you in a bit, man.
Yep, see you then.
Jeff Ryman, producer for our program here at Kelly & Company. He will rejoin us, as mentioned, a little later on in the program. But Margaret and I will be back after the break for our app update with John Beeler.